Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Humane Podcast, your tech insider podcast on the data economy. From the physical circuit chips on your smartphone to the software powering GPT models, we live in a data-first world. Humane interviews the founders, investors, executives, and tech leaders that are creating the world that we live in for consumers and enterprises. Welcome back, listeners. Introducing Humane, the Tech Insider podcast on the data economy. From the physical circuit chips on your smartphone to the software powering GPT models, we live in a data-driven world. Humane interviews the founders, investors, executives, and leaders that are creating the world that we live in for both consumers and the enterprise. And on today's episode, we're featuring Mark Heinen, who is the co-founder and chief product officer of Knapsack. And this episode also is in partnership with our AI Realized Summit. So, Mark, we're so excited to have you on the show.
Really happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, Mark, you've had a fantastic career that has been quite impressive, spanning big tech corporations, the likes of Google, Meta or Facebook, and some other incredible companies. Can you walk us through a little bit about your journey through startups and big tech? What led you to co-founding Knapsack?
Sure, happy to. I started my first company in my 20s. I was living in London, working for a large conglomerate called Kingfisher. Came across a business opportunity in 1999-2000 to really create an online version of Nielsen for online pricing data, and launched that company, ended up, you know, venture backing it and then selling it in 2006, and found that experience to be exciting and also really grueling. I was a first-time founder in my 20s, dealing with venture funds, dealing with customer acquisition, B2B customer acquisition. And so joined Google in 2006 to, you know, really learn how organizations can scale more sustainably. And also during that time was really interested in sort of frontier technologies being adopted. I saw my team in India use a lot of new tools when I was there and realized at Google I wanted to expand tools into emerging markets, spent a lot of time on that and spent time at Facebook afterwards on that as well. And I've always had this abiding interest in adoption of frontier technologies and what the blockers are on adopting those things. I started a few companies after Facebook, most recently PayJoy in 2015 with two friends, which was really focused on smartphone adoption in emerging markets. How do we enable people to pay as you go on smartphones? And that's where I met my co-founder Cooper from Knapsack. And we teamed up again in 2022, looking at AI as a new frontier technology and seeing what the challenges were with people using AI at work. And we realized that there is sort of a new architecture we can use to make it easier for people to use AI with their enterprise data. And we got started on launching that company back in 2023.
Fantastic. And Knapsack is described as offering instant private workflow automations. Can you break down for our listeners what this means and how it differs from other AI solutions in the market?
There are really three different elements to that. So the first element is instant. So we're designing a way to use AI at work that you can use instantly without having to worry about coordinating too tightly with your CTO or get a lot of permissions or worry about actually violating any of your internal policies. And that is because of the second component, private. We are enabling you to use AI with your data by bringing the data to the AI, rather by bringing the AI to the data rather than the other way around. A lot of solutions right now require you to upload your data to a cloud. And if you're working in healthcare or finance, you're sitting on a lot of PII, you're sitting on a lot of data from your partners that you're not allowed to share. You are often sitting on extremely sensitive commercial information. You don't feel comfortable often uploading that information into a new AI cloud, whether it's from one of the major incumbents or even a new startup. And at this point, that is a big blocker in access to AI technology. And what we did is effectively allow you to bring the AI to the data by downloading the AI either to your laptop or onto your server in a company, and then having that AI interact with your data specifically for, you know, generative AI use cases without having to worry about data leakage. And so that is the private component of it. And one thing we realized as we were experimenting with this, realizing that, first of all, it's extremely effective. And second of all, we realized that there is no limit to how often you can run this. Often in current tools that people are using, whether it's Claude or ChatGPT, you have a chat box, and there's often a limit to how often you can run operations within that chatbot. It's the natural physical limit. You can only type so many times. But then there's also the capacity limit because you're using their compute. And we realized if you're actually running this on your own computer, you can run automations nonstop during the day because you have that capacity available. And so we realized we can actually increase the utility of AI for the average knowledge worker by allowing them to run automation several times a day, maybe up to 100 times a day, and maybe more. And that can make them a lot more productive. And so we realized there are certain automations people will want to run that takes care of routine tasks, especially very knowledge intensive tasks, and can make them enjoy their job more, make them more productive, and open up sort of a new frontier. And, you know, this is a frontier that people have been experimenting with for the last decade or so. We've heard of remote process automation and things like that. But now with AI, with LLMs, there's a whole new area that we can explore. And that's what we're doing. So to sum it up, you can instantly download an app, run AI privately on your data without leaking your data anywhere else, and actually run it nonstop during the day to make you a lot more productive. And we feel that will unlock a whole new layer of functionality for people who work in privacy-sensitive industries like finance and healthcare.
So, you know, Mark, you've been talking a lot about private, and this is often thought about with AI on the edge. And then you just talked about some of the industries and the use cases. But truly, what does this concept mean, and why is it business critical for companies today?
So if you think about how we currently work with AI in most cases, you're really going to a website most often. You're uploading your data, whether you're manually typing in or you're syncing data or you're uploading using an upload feature. And then a lot of the AI inference is happening in a cloud somewhere. And that is the most logical way to run this right now as we're getting started, but it's actually the most expensive. You're running the most expensive compute, so that's financially expensive. You're also sharing all of your data in. And so AI on the edge is the concept of taking that AI operation, actually moving it to your computer and eventually to your smartphone, so you don't have to do that round trip to a server. So Gartner predicts that by 2025, 75% of enterprise data will be processed outside of centralized cloud infrastructure. So actually quite a remarkable statistic. And that is because so much compute is now going back to what we call the edge, to computers. And it's an interesting cycle. If you think back the way things operated in the 60s and 70s, you had centralized mainframes. People would rent time on the mainframes. And, you know, Bill Gates, famously, when he started Microsoft, one key thing he was able to do was to get a computer in his high school to be able to work on things. And that was something that allowed him to work with a higher level of innovation. And that's the way things went in the 70s and 80s. More compute went to the edge, more compute went on the desktop. That allowed Windows to accelerate, that allowed applications to run on Windows, and allowed a higher level of innovation. And people didn't have to rent time from IBM on their mainframes. And then, of course, in the 90s and 2000s, we had the cloud infrastructure come back, which is sort of a re-centralization of compute. So we have other versions of IBM now, and they are called Google and Microsoft and AWS. And those clouds, you rent compute on them. And we are in a situation again where that compute time can be extremely expensive. And that is limiting innovation. However, now people, because GPUs are now going to become more available on desktops and eventually on phones, if people can actually run the AI operations on those devices without having to do that round trip, I think we'll see A, a lot more innovation, and B, I think we'll see faster AI experiences, which will open up new functionality. And I also think one thing people aren't taking into account is the fact that the LLMs themselves are getting much more efficient over time. You know, really the compute required to digest a token is dropping dramatically as these LLMs become more efficient, as is more work done on this. And that will also make it a lot easier for things to run on the edge. And I think that's what's driving this 75% number, which is quite a remarkable number. And of course, you have the other benefit, which is that you don't have to upload your data somewhere to run AI. And I believe 10 or 20 years from now, it'll be crazy. People think we were crazy to upload our data to all these different servers just to get a certain level of functionality when it can actually all run on the edge without a challenge.
I think you're right that we're already seeing with models like, you know, Meta Llama 3.1, how in the inference layer, it has grown from just getting started back in April to now one of the leading players. And that means a lot of people like you and I can use our new Apple Intelligence or Google Gemini on our mobile devices with this localized edge-based compute. So very exciting to see that. And that's going to enable, as you shared, Mark, a lot of types of automation. And that's at the core of Knapsack's business, automation enablement. Would you share with our listeners, how do your automations compare to other ones in the industry, like we may have seen with RPA and other ecosystems?
The main benefit of running an automation with AI is that you can write an automation without knowing anything about how to code or how to use RPA. Really, anyone can write an automation. Ultimately, you're simply asking the computer to do something on a regular basis. And so the flagship automation we are starting with is meeting preparation. We are all in meetings. We're doing a meeting right now. And we all like to do preparation before the meeting to make sure we understand, you know, what the other person might be thinking, make sure we're informed. No one likes to look dumb in meetings. And that's actually a task that for high stakes meeting often takes a lot of time. And ultimately, I've heard from people I've talked to at Morgan Stanley that they have pools of staff members who do this work manually for their advisors who have high net worth clients. And that's just one example of an automation that could save a lot of time, effectively automatically preparing you for your next meeting by pulling in all of your enterprise data. And specifically here, we're pulling in your Google Drive data, your data on your local desktop, because we're a local app, we can do that. And then, of course, we can pull in other data as well from various other data sources. And the anticipation is we'll have a thriving community of connectors with a lot of other data sources.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But that's just the beginning. I mean, that's just one example of an automation. I think we have a wide range of additional automations that we can explore. Another one we've been discussing is an automation that just looks across the SQL database of customer data or financial data for anomalies. You know, a question that a friend of mine who's a CEO asked recently is, he doesn't know what he doesn't know. He wants to understand if there's something happening in his data with his customers that is out of the ordinary. And he doesn't want to have to predict that by writing a lot of dashboards. He just wants an LLM to automatically look through that. Another example I can think of, you know, which might refer a little bit back to a previous episode of yours with Steven Banerjee, where he was talking about clinical notes and healthcare AI. You know, there a lot of clinical notes are currently stored in SQL databases, but they're unstructured, and running AI on unstructured data is complicated, but it's possible now. And on top of that, sharing that very sensitive data out into a new cloud is extremely expensive and complicated. You know, if someone were to sign up for Microsoft's OpenAI Azure service agreement, the average cost of that is $1 million per year. And so for, you know, anyone else who wants to just see if any of their patients has had similar symptoms to the person they're currently seeing, that's an automation that for most people would be considered out of reach. With our tool, that's an automation they can write immediately just through free text without having to know how to code. And they can have, you know, their transcript of their meeting or, you know, their appointment with their patient automatically be uploaded, privately analyzed against those other, you know, patient interactions. And then they can see if there has been a similar case in one of the other patients. So that's just one example of a private automation that would be extremely useful.
That's extremely powerful. And, you know, I think it's great to hear the focus on private and privacy. It's great to hear your focus on where we should run models. You know, the future is local, right? When we talk about that debate about running AI models locally versus in the cloud. Though double-clicking further into models, I mean, it is the year of 2024, where it seems every other day new models are being launched across both startups and big tech. And what's your perspective on like the directionality of models, especially regarding small language models, these SLMs on the edge?
I am really bullish and really excited about what's happening in this space. You know, we've seen a lot of progress just in the last year. We've seen, you know, Facebook release Mobile LLM, which is a 1 billion parameter model that they feel can, you know, do quite a bit. We've seen Microsoft actually release open source models 5.3, 5.3.5. Those are, you know, sub 10 billion parameter models that seem to be very effective. We've even seen Google come out with Gemma. The most recent version of Gemma 2, I think it's 27B, can actually run on a MacBook M3 and has similar performance characteristics, GPT-4o. And so we're seeing a lot of innovation here. And really the net effect is that the quality output becoming more accessible. In other words, the cost in terms of compute for quality output is dramatically lowering. And, you know, I think you can measure that in a couple of different ways, but ultimately it's really the compute cost for producing a token that actually has high value. And ultimately that is, I think, where we're going to see things go. You know, we've had McKinsey analyze that edge AI will cloud costs by about 40%. And then within healthcare, we've had Forrester produce an analysis that edge AI will reduce cloud spending by up to 50% in industries like healthcare. So in healthcare in particular, we're going to see a lot more innovation there. And I think in the future, we're actually going to see small language models be available for different purposes. And we're going to see orchestration models. We're going to see different ways that the software itself can figure out which small language model would be most suitable for this particular prompt and choose that small language model. And especially considering the possibilities of open source, we're going to see a lot of innovation in, you know, very custom small language models being orchestrated together into a web of models that will then be able to run locally on different devices.
Awesome. I love that entire approach that you're sharing there, Mark. And it seems that Knapsack is building in the space of, as you described, automations in the private edge. And part of what's going to help facilitate your growth is that you recently closed a pre-seed round. First, congratulations. And second, can you share your vision for Knapsack and how you plan to use this funding to revolutionize the industries and use cases you've discussed, like finance and healthcare, with your AI automations?
So I think our core mission here is to make people more productive by enabling automation. So we want to build the largest library of automations, and we want to enable the most people possible to use those automations as frequently as possible. We fully expect that 90% of people will not create automations. They will just use other people's automations. That is the way a lot of these user-generated communities work. You know, in my time at Meta and Facebook, I've seen that firsthand. And ultimately, we want that to be experience that people can engage with and within a minute or two, instantly get value and start using it with their colleagues. And so our vision is that this is something that is running nonstop for end users and making them a lot more productive. And ultimately, we expect people can actually start working 4-day work weeks as a result. You know, their level of productivity should hopefully be so high that they won't need to actually continue doing a 5-day work week. And I think there have been a lot of discussions about what will happen to people's jobs as a result of AI automation. I do believe that we're going to see some changes and people will have to readjust. But I also think there is still room for comparative advantage in people having some things they do particularly well and spending more time on those things and less time on the things they don't do well or don't want to do. And that's ultimately what we're going to do in terms of having a positive societal impact.
Awesome. And Mark, as you've shared, and as we all know, the AI field is rapidly evolving. You know, it's been just about 2 years or so, the time of this recording, since the launch of ChatGPT. So with that in mind, how do you see Knapsack fitting into or shaping the future of enterprise AI adoption?
I think in the future, people will start using AI in the background without as much of a conscious effort. That is something they have to go do. You know, right now we're using the internet, but it's not like we opened up our computer and decided we're going to decide to use the internet on our computer. It's just in the background. And my expectation is that in a similar way, we're going to allow people to start using AI across their data and have it be something that is immersive and in the background and providing useful insights on a regular basis. You know, there's no reason why you can't actually have an AI advising you during a meeting if, you know, there's something you should be bringing up that you haven't bought up yet based on the data on your computer. And if it has access to all the data on your computer and your cloud data in a private way, it has full context. And so ultimately, the AI will know everything about you and will be able to advise you what to do and also go out with an automation and do things on your behalf. And we think that will actually be a more immersive experience. And the chat box will be a little bit of an anachronistic artifact that will be very specific to this period of time. A bit like AOL Instant Messenger was very specific to another period of time.
Now, tying everything all together, Mark, given your experience across major tech companies and startups, you've seen firsthand how AI is transforming industries. And today you've started to talk about that future. If you could paint a picture of this future where private edge-based AI like Knapsack becomes widespread, what exciting possibilities do you envision beyond the meeting? And how can our listeners start preparing for this future today?
I think we'll have an interesting inflection point where you'll find there are certain things that the automations can do extremely well that you spent a lot of time doing yourself. And I think it'll actually end up prompting much more fundamental questions about meaning in work, and what is the, you know, part of the job that you want to spend time on and that you get the value out of. And what is the part of the job that you don't want to spend time on? And I think that reflection is going to be very important. And I think it'll happen on a micro basis and individuals. I think on a macro basis across the workforce, there will be questions about this as well. I think in the very short term, over the next couple of years, people will be experimenting with these automations and will be creating really fascinating automations that will improve their quality of life. You know, I think a great example is doctors needing to do pre-authorizations for procedures. This is an exercise that, you know, drains a lot of energy out of doctors who really want to spend more time with their patients. And what they're really doing in this situation is writing detailed letters to insurance companies to get permission to do a procedure that they feel is warranted, but they want to make sure that it is paid for. And, you know, these are time-intensive exercises that can be sped up dramatically using LLMs. Ironically, the insurance companies use AI to read the authorization request. So there is a bit of an arms race here, but I think you have a situation like that where clearly the physician doesn't want to spend as much time writing those authorizations. I think everyone has something like that in their work life where they have a task that really should be automated and it's not in line with what they feel they can do best or what they want to do. And so I think what we can do with AI is think through, what are things I do best every day? What do I want to spend most of my time doing? And let's automate the other things to enable me to be as productive as possible.
Mark Heinun, co-founder and chief product officer of Knapsack. Thank you for joining us on Humane.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Humane Podcast. Did the episode measure up to your thoughts on ML and AI, data science, developer tools, and technical education? Share your thoughts with me at humanepodcast.com/contact. Remember to share this episode with a friend, subscribe and leave a review, and listen for more episodes of Humane.
If you want to see more companies make things in America, consider buying more things from companies who are already doing that very thing. Companies like American Giant. These guys have been making t-shirts, sweatshirts, flannels, and blue jeans in America for the last 14 years, with cotton grown right here in the USA. That means good jobs for lots of hardworking Americans in factory towns all over the country. Check out their stuff in stores everywhere, or pick up something awesome at American-Giant.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.